this is Lisa Fox from Lioness Tribe, and I want to absolutely welcome with open arms the amazing Natasha Bray. Natasha, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
And I cannot tell you how excited I am to have you here, Natasha. I have been following you for the last 3 years, and I have to say you have inspired me more than I think most other people that I have encountered in my online journey. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I'm honored.
Can you tell us all a little bit about yourself and your business, Natasha?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Natasha Bray. I am a success mastery coach, and I help women entrepreneurs unlock what I call the ultimate up level, which is up leveling financially, emotionally, and spiritually for true success. I am a 34-year-old. I live in Wales, if you couldn't tell from the slightly Welsh twang to my accent. So I live in Wales in the UK, and I've been full-time in my online business for the last, nearly 4 years now.
Right.
I've got one child and one on the way, so all those two children. My oldest son, he's nearly five. And so I've built my business that I have today from, from the bottom up as a single mum initially, but now have a new partner and a new baby on the way.
And tell us, because I'm sure everybody's dying to know, when are you expecting?
September, mid-September, so a few months away yet.
You're in full swing.
Yeah, I know, there's like this huge to-do list of things that I need to fit in before the baby's born.
And the other thing that I found, so when I was expecting, so I have two children, a boy and a girl, and at that 20-week scan, I don't know if it's the same in Wales, but they tell you, if you want to know, they tell you the sex. I both times was like, yes, tell me, because I need to get organized. And are you the same, or are you keeping it a surprise for yourself?
No, I'm like the worst person ever at A, keeping surprises, and B, having a surprise for myself. So I had to know. I went for the early private scan to find out what the gender was going to be. Because I don't know. I know, like, sometimes it's nice to have a surprise, but I've got friends who have done it where they just didn't want to find out.
Yeah.
And that's just so not me. I couldn't wait that long. I need to know. I need immediate gratification.
Yeah, me. I'm your sister. I'm exactly the same. But I do completely get when people want to keep a surprise. I just wish I was a little bit more like that, but I'm just not. And that's okay. So, Natasha, I think, as I was telling you, my audience are mainly mothers like ourselves, who have their own businesses or are working mothers,
yeah,
in some capacity. And I think by the sounds of it, they're your people as well, because you're a single mom, and you've been in business since you've had your son, or since before you had your son?
It was actually since before my son, but full time. I left my job to go into my business when my son was 10 months old, and to go all in and go full time in that.
Yeah.
So it's been sort of since then, and he's going to be five in October. Since then that I've really, really grown my business.
Would you say that your son had any part to play in inspiring you to grow your business the way that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the biggest influence initially was the desire to heal myself more, to be a better mother. And as a side effect of that healing, my business just dramatically grew. So I think it was, wanting to have a better, a more balanced life. I was working full time. I had a business, just become a single parent, had some health issues from the birth and all sorts of things going on. And It was literally like what I call my it's now or never moment. I couldn't carry on being everything and doing everything and be the best mother that I could to my son at the same time. So he was definitely the catalyst for some deep healing, but also to make my business work, I think.
Yeah. And I think that's something that resonates so much, well, with me anyway, but with most mothers. But I think like what actually ends up happening, especially, well, I know for me, a lot of my clients feel that even more strongly when they have their children, that they have to be everything to everyone, as you just said, and end up like burning themselves out. But you seem to have caught that so early and turned it on its head.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say there hasn't been times where, you know, I've slipped into overworking and still trying to do too much. You know, there's been a lot of lessons in that time also. But I think it was the moment where I decided that I had to choose me.
What inspired that moment?
I think just feeling pulled in so many different directions and also realizing that I wasn't actually reaching my full potential in my business because I was trying to hold on to the safety net of my full-time career.
Yeah. And I know, so when we talk about the full potential of your business, you're definitely well on your way now to, like, you know, it's always going to be a journey, I'm sure, but you have reached massive success in your business by anyone's standards. And that's part of what drew me to you. And the fact that you did that while being a mother, you know, and not in spite of being a mother, you know, so could you talk to us a little bit about your success?
Yeah, sure. So what year was it? August 2017 was when I handed in my notice and went all in on my business. And I'd not long become a single mum as well. So I went from having three incomes in the household, my partner's income or my ex-partner's income, my income from my full-time job as a social worker at the time and whatever was coming through my business, to just only having the business income. And that was quite scary. And so it's really scary, actually. I'm like, that 4 year younger version of me had a lot of guts.
Yeah, thank you, younger Natasha. Like, seriously, she's ballsy.
Yes, I don't know where that came from, but but then also I kind of feel like, you know, I did have a tiny bit of savings, not a lot. And my business was kind of bringing in around 2,000-3,000 a month as a average. Mm. So it wasn't like I had nothing. There was something there.
Yeah.
But I feel almost like ripping away the safety net made me have no choice than to soar in some way.
Yeah.
And my business was very different then to what it changed to. So as I said, my son and this whole experience of becoming a single mom and having some health issues at the time, it was the catalyst for some deeper healing on myself. Mm. And I'd hit a plateau in my business for a really long time, and I just couldn't seem to break through. And it was when I started doing this healing on myself that my business started to explode, almost as a side effect. And that was when I made the connection between healing yourself and growing your business. And so July 2018, I started to do that work more with other entrepreneurs because they saw my business explode. So women that I networked with online, they saw my business explode and they were like, whatever you've done, we want some of it. So the niche found me, so to speak. So I was already trained in various therapies at that point that I'd been using in my health business. And I then started applying that to business success instead. Mm. That was July 2018. So between then and now, which is just under 3 years, my business has grown to multi-million dollar turnover.
Woo, woo, woo.
It doesn't even feel real saying that. And I am a self-made cash millionaire.
Wow.
And back then, back at the start of this journey, August 2017, I was actually on working tax credits to help me have a bit of extra income while I built my business. So I went from working tax credits, which is like a benefit system here in the UK, to supplement low wage, because I could only afford to pay myself minimum wage out of the profits in the business at that point, to becoming a millionaire, which is just crazy.
It's crazy, and it's crazy inspiring, and it's what we need more of and what we need to hear. You know, we need to hear about what's possible for women. You know, when like, so you talk about your healing journey being the biggest needle mover in your business. And when I heard you saying that in a group that we've met in, something just sparked inside me, because it's so, like, I just think that business is a spiritual journey. It is for me anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, like, you know, like I know what I talk about and what my audience hears me talk about all the time is confidence, because that's my background. And that's what, you know, kind of like I've built enormous self-trust, and I'm starting to get that the needle is finally starting to move for me as well. But it's that inner work. It's the inner work that as the more inner work I do, the more it shows on the outside and the more it manifests in my bank account, you know?
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because we grow up being taught that success is outside of us.
Yeah.
It's in what you learn and what you do and the, you know, the jobs that you secure, and you've got to work hard and all these things that we're taught. And actually, we grow up believing that success is in another strategy or another business coach or learning some marketing. And of course these things help, but actually, as you rightly said, the biggest needle mover is actually that inner work.
And like, that's really interesting what you say. Like, you know, we are taught that success is outside of us. And I think for women as well, we're taught very differently about success than men are, right? Like I find as a woman and as a girl growing up, and, you know, through my teenage years and through college and everything, success to me seemed to be this idea of I could attain it if I was perfect, if I did everything perfectly, if I drove myself hard enough, if I was the best, if I was, you know, that I've just realized in the last couple of years, that's total bullshit. It's total bullshit. In fact, the less perfect I am, the more I show up just as myself, the way I am, you know, and the more that I understand that I am enough just as I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
The more successful I've become.
And that was a key stage in my transformation as well. It was that letting go of wearing the mask of perfectionism, stop trying to be what I thought other people wanted me to be, and just be me. Yeah. And it sounds so cliche, but it's so true. Like when you just, like, that's what freedom is, when you just feel free to be who you really are, because you've healed all those wounds and those things that were holding you back and making you wear those masks. That's true freedom. And that's when you start to feel that inner freedom is where, like, the financial freedom comes.
Yeah. And do you think that it's possible the other way around? Like, as in to have that financial success without doing that, the inner work?
I do, but I don't think it's sustainable. So what happened on my journey was, it was actually December 2019 when I had my first six-figure month in my business, which, you know, was crazy. But that had been the goal for me that had been my goal when leaving work. I just want to hit a six-figure business within 2 years. Within 2 years, I had a six-figure month in my business. But what happened next? I wasn't emotionally ready to receive that level of money.
Right.
And so what happened next was everything came crashing down. My health suffered. My relationship suffered. Like, that money had come at a sacrifice. And that's because I didn't feel worthy of receiving and keeping the money. So I had to do then a lot of work. And this is where I shifted from helping women with just business success to actually, you can't just up level financially because you can't hold and receive and keep. That's the main thing. Keep that money.
Yeah.
If you haven't got the, done the inner work to expand your ability to hold it.
Yeah. It's like you're expanding your capacity to receive and feel and yeah. feel worthy. And that's, and I guess like that's kind of, you know, where I'm coming from with the confidence work that I do. It's all about self-worth. And I use a lot of law of attraction work in what I do with my clients as well, because I think it's all the same, right? It's all about what we just said there, expanding
yeah.
the capacity to receive.
Yeah, and keep the money. That was the key thing. So it's a little bit like when I teach this to my clients, I talk about people who win the lottery and their whole lives collapse and they lose all the money within a year or two. And they're like, oh, I was better off before I ever won this money.
Yeah, right.
Because they didn't have the ability to receive and hold that level of wealth because their internal world didn't match that externally.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, it's all about that inner expansion. And Natasha, could you talk to me a little bit about your own confidence journey?
Yeah, so I actually, you know, in school, because in my childhood, I went through a lot of childhood abuse, chronic childhood abuse from a very young age, from 2 probably up till my early 20s. And I also, as part of that, I ended up addicted to food and gaining a lot of weight as a, almost like a protection mechanism. So this led to bullying then in school for being overweight. So my confidence was like rock bottom. You know, I was the wallflower, the shy, quiet one. I would just try and hide myself a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a very long, and as I got to my later teenage years, I lost a lot of that weight in very unhealthy ways, yeah. which I won't go into now. But my confidence was still rock bottom, even though I was now like a, you know, I was a very slim and considered attractive woman. But my confidence was so low that I would literally cross the road to not have to walk past other people.
Wow.
Which is like eye contact, walking past other people, like I couldn't do it. And that just feels like a world away from the person that I am now.
Yeah.
So my confidence in those younger years would come from drinking on nights out and, you know, that false confidence that alcohol gives you. And then I think, yeah, the more you work on yourself, like, you know, you've mentioned a few of the concepts that I work on with people. So obviously we have our own different ways, of course. The self-love, self-trust, self-worth, especially confidence is a side effect of those things. So when you're working on those things at a deeper level and transforming those things to actually have them, your confidence transforms
yeah.
as a side effect of that. Yeah. And so I would I describe myself as a confident person? Yeah, I think I would now. And some people might say that's come with age, but for me, I really believe that's come with healing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I completely agree. And the other thing that I think about confidence, because like, as you say, like confidence is almost like the outward visuals of that deeper, like, you know, the what's going on the inside, which is how you feel about yourself, and that self-love, self-trust, self-worth, you know, and confidence is what is sort of like springs, you know, springs off you from that, you know. But it's not something that it's something that changes, and that comes in waves, and hopefully it goes, you know, generally in an upward trajectory. But from day to day, from moment to moment, sometimes even it can go, it can dip and it can come back up and it can soar and it can, you know, like it's a dance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I do think, like, we as women as well, we, our confidence is affected by other women that we see around us growing up and how they are in terms of their confidence.
Yeah.
So like, slightly off topics, but I remember, you know, someone very close to me, a close female figure in my life, had very little confidence, but in some ways that made me want to be different as right. well. Even though I had massive confidence wounds from my earlier, it made me realize that actually I don't want to be like that person with their very limited confidence. So it's like learning, sometimes we learn to be like the women around us who have little confidence, and sometimes we learn, actually, that's not how I want to be. I want to make sure that things are different for me.
That's so interesting. That's like, it's funny, I've never heard it expressed quite like that, but I absolutely think that I'm your sister in that regard, you know, like I think it, what I was really inspired to work on my confidence because of where I came from, and the, you know, I mean, like, I have great love for obviously my family and friends and, you know, old friends and stuff, but like, it's not, you know, it's not always when you're looking at that from the outside, or from the inside, I should say, really, it can be really, really inspiring when you see that, you know, the people around you can't find a way out of that kind of low confidence vibe, right? And you go, let's, you know, I'm going to do this for myself, but I'm also, you know, that when one person does it, you know, from the tribe, it inspires other people in the same tribe to come along for the journey, you know?
Absolutely. And it's breaking that cycle then for our future generations too.
Yeah. That's something that I always say, Natasha, because I like breaking the cycle is so, so important. And because a lot of the mothers that I deal with initially, they have this idea that, you know, like they need to kind of put themselves last, right? And they need to put themselves at the bottom of the priority list, and that they can't really have their own lives, businesses, ambition, because they have this idea that they need to be just like everything for their kids and to put themselves last. But what I always say is, you know, do you want, like, are you going to like tell your child, you know, that you want the best for them, that you want them to, you know, to live their full potential, that you want them to, you know, chase their dreams? And the answer is always yes. And I'm like, you don't teach by telling, you teach by doing. You have to be the role model. And that's how you break the cycle. It's not by preaching that to your children, right?
Yeah, it's true. And I get a lot of that does come from, you know, believing that that is the role of the woman, to sacrifice themselves for the family, because that's what things might have been like in previous generations. But yeah, it's what you're saying is absolutely right. It's being that living example of, this is what it is like, this is how I want you to live, by being the example of that.
Yeah,
like it's like a parent saying to you, do as I say, not what I do. Like, nobody listens to that.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Well,
monkey see, monkey do, unless you know do some deep inner healing. You know,
yeah, either role model or we go the complete opposite way. And I was surrounded by women who did not have confidence in many different ways, to the point where they were trapped in violent relationships, abusive relationships, where their children were put at risk. And yeah, that was just something that I always told myself, no matter what, I would never let myself get into that position.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I've one more thing that I want to ask you about, Natasha, if you have the time.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just, I've a series of very quick questions about money, because, you know, as we said at the beginning of this conversation, like, the money is important, right? You know, we want this huge success, and we want to be the role models, and we also want to have the lifestyle and freedom, and we want to provide the best for our families. So, like, you know, the money is really important. But yeah, the money is where a lot of people get caught up, right? And you are such a good role model when it comes to money. And so what I always, like, where I always start with people is, you know, when we talk about money, is like thinking about it as a relationship. So you being such a successful role model regarding money, I want to ask you these basic questions. How do you feel about money?
Now I trust money. I trust that there's always more. I have a very good relationship with money now, but it wasn't always that way.
Okay. And that leads very nicely into my next question, which is about your relationship with money. If you were to describe your relationship with money in a nutshell, and the journey of your relationship, because that's the thing with relationships, they change, they don't stay the same, and that's part of the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. So what is your relationship with money? Can you describe it?
I would say that money has always mirrored my internal world back to me.
Right.
So when I had no self-worth, I repelled money. I couldn't hold on to it. All sorts of things would happen that would, anytime I had some money, it would almost abandon me again. But as I worked on myself and started healing myself, expanding my capacity to love myself and trust myself, that's when my relationship with money changed as well.
Yeah.
So it's like money is the mirror of your relationship with yourself.
Oh, I love that. We need to like do a quote card on that. And then the last question is, what's your big why when it comes to money?
So that is a big question. You know, I think we've touched on this a little bit already, but it's around, like, I'm very passionate about women having financial independence, because a lot of, you know, a lot of what I went through, and a lot of what, you know, other children go through, is because women are trapped in violent and abusive situations, and they don't feel like they have the resources to leave those situations. So financial independence as a woman has always been something that I'm very passionate about. But it's, for me, really, it's breaking the cycle. Yeah. And showing women what's possible. Because I used to look at the women earning what I earn, thinking, how is that even possible? That's never going to be me. How can that be me? But I am now that woman.
Yeah.
And I think seeing that it was possible for someone else showed me that it is possible. Even if you don't know how, there's people out there doing it. So it must be possible somehow.
Yeah.
And that, I think, always gave me this belief that maybe it could happen for me.
And you are that person, not just for me, like, you're definitely that person for me, but I know you're that person for like so many women. You are absolutely living your why, and I absolutely love that. Natasha, you are an amazing woman. Thank you so, so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
No problem at all.